through another week, and today is a new week. I love the way God has designed the world and his time, that we get a new start, a new year, a new month, a new week, a new day, and gives us refreshment. If you are visiting with us, you're truly our honored guest, and thank you so much for being a part of our fellowship here at the Fifth Ward Church of Christ. Our elders will acknowledge all of our visitors at the end of our worship service. We have been embarking in the past few weeks on a lesson series we've entitled The Disciples Master Training Series. Our theme for the year is what, church? Making disciples and making a difference. Making disciples and making a difference. And we spent quite a bit of time the first a part of the year in talking about how we are, God has called us for his purpose as the Lord's church to reconcile. And that is to put back in right relationship with man. First of all, you have to become a disciple. You can't make a disciple if you're not a disciple. And he's called us as individuals and the church to go about in this world reconciling people back to Jesus Christ. And that is our primary purpose as the Lord's church after we become a Christian. And then after we become a Christian, we haven't arrived until we get to heaven. Amen. There's much to do. We sing a song. There's much to do. There's work on every hand. Hark the cry for help comes ringing through the land. And so we are in, if you, and those of you that's visiting, we love it that we have visitors. We may even have some seekers who are seeking the truth, seeking a different way. And I'm glad you're here today, as we are in discipleship training, that we are trying to improve every single day. Amen. I don't care how old we are, we never stop. The word disciple means that we are learners. And we as Christians are lifelong. Stand up if you know everything. Not a one. And so you're in the right place this morning. And we challenge the church as we started in the book of Ephesians chapter 6. And we challenge the church to do some deeper study as we embarked on this lesson series in this, we call it a master training series. And I know Paul, when he was communicating to the church, he says, I want to give you some meat, but some of you, you're still on milk. And I know in an audience this size, and as we are in different levels of our Christian maturity, yes, we have those who are drinking milk who are babes in Christ, but we have some members in the body of Christ need to be eating steak right now. We've been in the Lord's church a long time, and so are you. Bear with us as we study God's word, and there may be some things in here, especially in this particular study, that you need to gird up. We all need to gird up, and we need to get ready to eat some meat. And I hope we don't choke on this meat. But some studies in the Bible we dare not stay away from, because they enrich us so and they help us so much. And if we don't get it, and listen to Ephesians chapter 6, and I won't do a review. This is actually the fifth lesson in this series. We've diverted from it a couple of Sundays because of special things we had going on. But Paul tells the church in Ephesians 6 and verse 10, finally be strong in the Lord. And in anything, if you're going to be strong, it's going to take some effort. It's going to take some literally going to take some extra effort. It's going to take more effort than what you have been doing in the past if we're going to get stronger. And sometimes I make excuses. As I get older, you know, I try to exercise a little bit, and sometimes I just don't feel like doing nothing. Amen. And I say, well, I don't need to be stronger in this particular area, but in our spiritual walks in life, he says, finally be strong in the Lord and in the strength of his might. Put on the full armor of God so that we will be able to stand. There's a reason stand against the schemes of the devil. This is why this is not a take it or leave it. This is not helpful tips, if you will, that you can use them if you want to. These are weapons of offense and defense that we must have if we're going to withstand Satan's schemes and his evil deeds, and he got some for us. And so we've been on it. We've been studying it. And I've been going slower than I thought I would go, but I asked you to allow me to take my time as we go through these lessons. And last week I was on the third element, and I stayed on the first element too long, and I didn't get to finish it. So today I'm going to try to jump right into it, if you will. And so we talked about the belt of truth. And if you jump down to Ephesians chapter 6, verse 13, therefore take up the full armor. And that's why we're spending time on each element, because you can't skip one. If you don't have all of these, they will not do what God has intended for them to do for us in our spiritual lives. He says, put on the full armor, every element, and all of them are important to God and they're important to us, so that you will be able to resist in the evil day, having done everything to stand firm. Stand firm, therefore, having girded your loins with truth. We talked about the belt of truth. I won't stop there. Having put on the breastplate of righteousness. We talked about the breastplate of righteousness. I got to keep going. And then last week we got to, and having shod your feet with the preparation of the gospel of peace. The word shod, or shoed your feet. Put your shoes on, saints. That's what he tells us, to put our shoes on. And I know some of you sisters, you ought to get excited when you hear the word shoes. And look, I said that one Sunday. I can't remember what I said about was talking about shoes. But one brother said, "Brother Gary, I like shoes too." So I know we got some brothers that love shoes. But shoes serve a great purpose. Great purpose. Fully armed soldier with everything but his shoes on is lacking something serious. Everything but his shoes on. Yeah. One of the last things a soldier wants to deal with in the middle of a fight is worrying about where he's going to step, worrying about what's under his feet. Shoes allow us to step freely without fear while we turn our full attention to the battle that's before us. And so I understand as Paul looking at that Roman soldier and seeing all of his outfit, his uniform on, and he looks at the shoes and sees the shoes of the Roman soldier. And I was thinking about shoes and what they do for us and what they do. Shoes give us confidence. Yes, they do give us confidence. And shoes give us security. Shoes give us comfort. Oh, that mercy to be working or doing something and you don't have some good shoes on. Oh, that's some pain, isn't it? Some of us know all about it. Shoes give us peace. I was looking on the internet this past week, and I was looking at some different shoes and then thinking about how shoes apply in our lives. And I found some shoes. I found a 1984 shoe that Michael Jordan, his rookie season. And I believe, some of you might correct me, there's one that's on the left up here, is similar to the 1984 Michael. Some of you brothers say, "Bro Gary, I got that one. I have that one." Yeah, I know some of you young men may have it. So collectible, probably pretty expensive. Now, the one on the bottom right is LeBron James' shoes, one of his shoes. This is his championship shoe that he wore when he was with the Miami Heat. And just to have a good pair of comfortable shoes can do wonders for you, can't it? Yeah, it can do wonders for your feet. And I think a few Sundays or maybe a few years ago, I talked about when I was a kid, see, shoes have changed so much, especially tennis shoes have changed so much. But when I was a kid, We always they had Converse. Now Converse is back or out or whatever you want to call it. But Converse shoes and then some of you that's older than that that remember some of you young guys, you remember the PL Flyers. Some of you youngsters don't know nothing about PL Flyers, but see, I was looking on the internet and I found some PL Flyers. But you know, that's a PL. But the thing I remember about PL Flyers was this little green thing on the back of y'all. Some of you, anybody remember that? But see, I saw that one though. Those are high top people. But see, when I was, I don't even know if they had high top then. And they had maybe they did have high top. Well, that was a picture. But they used to have a commercial or something come on. PL Flyers make you run faster and jump higher. Yes. Yeah, you put some PL Flyers on, you feel like Superman. And you know, I remember when I got my PL Flyers. Yes, I did. And you know, we always, my daddy said, no, I guess I probably shouldn't say it, but I might well say it now. But see, we always got hours late, you know. They wasn't in style no more. They did the best they could. They did the best they could. And we got them. Matter of fact, I might have bought them myself. No, I'm not that. But I remember when I got my PL Flyers, I wanted to put them to the test. And the commercials, they jump higher and run faster. And we had a fence in our front yard, and it was about that high. And boy, I got my PL Flyers and tied them up tight. And I went outside and I ran in that fence. I jumped up on that. I thought I was going to jump over the fence, and I hit that fence. I said, I'm taking them back. No, but shoes. Shoes do give us confidence. And I understand, I understood better the correlation that the Apostle Paul is trying to relate to our Christian lives. And we got to understand, see, he says, shod with the feet, your feet with the preparation of the gospel of peace. And our feet take us everywhere. As saints, we can't go anywhere unless we don't have any feet. But our feet take us everywhere. And Paul is trying, the apostle is trying to tell us is that everywhere we go, that we need to notice this, all of them, all of the elements, put on, take up. We need to put our offensive, defensive weapons on and take them literally everywhere we go. And this particular element, he tells us, is the preparation of the gospel of peace. Help us to understand what you're trying to say, Lord. He says, you heard the passage that was read in your hearing from the book of Romans, chapter 10, verse 15. Romans 10, 15. And how shall they preach except they be sent? As it is written, how beautiful are the feet of them that preach the gospel of peace and bring glad tidings of good things. See, the word gospel means good news. It means good news. And so he says, when he says, put on the shoes, the shod your feet, he says, put on this good news, this great news of this gospel of peace. And the word gospel is used throughout the New Testament. And he uses the word peace because when we proclaim this good news, in the way that God wants us to proclaim it, it's going to bring peace, is what he's saying. It's going to be, it is not just the word peace. It's also called, go turn to Matthew chapter 4 and verse 23, Matthew 4, 23. Jesus was going through all Galilee, teaching in their synagogues and proclaiming the gospel of the kingdom. He says, proclaiming the gospel of the kingdom. In each case, this gospel must be communicated. This good news must be communicated. Remember, the preacher who preaches, beautiful are his feet, but he is preaching where he is going, everywhere he's going, he is proclaiming this, the good news of peace. It's a peaceful message. It's a message that brings joy to people. And he says, this gospel of the kingdom. And so this gospel of peace would include the gospel of the kingdom. The kingdom would include everything. And you know, that's what Jesus preached, is the gospel of the kingdom and healing every kind of disease and every kind of sickness among the people. Listen to Mark chapter 1, verse 1. The beginning of the gospel of Jesus Christ. So the gospel of peace is the gospel of the kingdom. It's the gospel of Jesus Christ. It's the gospel of the teachings of Jesus Christ. It's the gospel of the teachings of the kingdom. So what are you saying, Brother Gary? This good news is a message that is taught everywhere that we go, that is this transformational teaching that changes a way of lifestyle that would bring peace and people that would take it and live it. And that's the message that we are to take as saints, as Christians. Well, Brother Gary, the gospel of peace, isn't it the plan of salvation? Yes, it would include the plan of salvation. Notice the plan of salvation is that we hear God's word, we believe it with all of our heart, we repent of our sins, we confess Christ, and we're baptized into Jesus Christ. But notice this, when Paul told the Ephesian church to put on the full arm of God, they were already Christians. And so to our mature saints who say, preach the gospel, brother, preach the good news of Jesus Christ. See, the gospel includes all of it, all the kingdom teaching. And more than that, to us, especially those of us that's here this morning, we have already been baptized. Many of us have been baptized into Jesus Christ, but God is not through with you yet. And so Paul actually tells them to put on the full armor of God. He tells them after they've already made the commitment to be a Christian. And so that tells us that we got something to do, don't we? And not only we have something to do and we have something to teach, and he tells all the Christians, did he tell the preacher to put the full armor of God on? Did he tell the elders to put the full armor of God? Yes, he did. Yes, he told them. He told the deacons and all of us. And he wants every baptized believer in here when you go to work tomorrow, when you go to school tomorrow, when you go anywhere to play tomorrow, when you go to the gym tomorrow, to put your shoes on. Amen. Yeah, now notice this, putting the shoes on, putting the gospel of the preparation of the gospel, it's more than just putting our shoes on, it's spreading this message that God has given us, this gospel of peace. I'll get a little bit more specific, Brother Gary. I'm glad you asked me to do that. You remember in Romans chapter 12 and verse number 2, a very familiar scripture, the Bible says, and be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of the mind, that you may prove what is that good and acceptable worship to God. See, it's what we are presenting God's. We are acceptable will of God that we are transforming. We are not conforming. We're transforming into what God would have us to be. And so after we become saints and we become Christians, we're disciples now. There ought to be a transformation in our lives. That's why I say this is kind of the meaty teaching, because, you know, sometimes, we like to tell other folk what they need to do, but it gets a little touchy when we start saying things, start revealing what we need to change. Amen, somebody. Yeah. You ready for this? Well, See, we as disciples, we got to act like disciples. Yeah. I'm working. There's a few things I'm working on. I'm not going to tell you exactly what they are. I was reading some passages. Some things are difficult. 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 23. I don't know if I had this in my notes on this screen, but 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 23. See, the kingdom teaching, see, if you go in the Gospels, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, kingdom, you notice a number of pastors say, you've heard it, and you've heard that it has been said, but I say, kingdom teaching, new transformational teaching. Teaching that goes against something that maybe you've heard that hadn't been doing. 1 Peter 2, while being reviled, the word reviled means abusive. Like someone speaking badly, reproachful language, talking about you bad. And here's Jesus' example. While being reviled, he did not revile in return. Anybody need some help with that one? Some things negate our influence as Christians. You know it does. Some things that we do, it takes away. See, he says, it's Jesus, when he was reviled, he did not revile in return because he was looking at the bigger picture. And I was somewhere this past week, and I was tested. Because they were purposely, but they said something to me that was not nice. And you could tell that it was in a place of business, and they must have been in a very bad mood, and they got short with me when it was not called for. And you know what helped me? I'm going to tell you what helped me is this lesson that I knew I would be preaching this morning. I'm just being totally serious. Because, you know, sometimes people catch you at the wrong time, don't they? It depends on what's happening. You know, you had a bad morning, you didn't sleep good that night, or, you know, somebody got on your nerves. And you know, I just thought about it, and this person said something to me. And I'm not saying they said it direct, but it was not nice. And the first thing came to my mind was this scripture. Amen. And I'm saying, listen, see, that's why I understand when Paul says put on. And thank God for his mercy. Thank God for his grace. See, thank God that you had the will. See, notice this. God is already good. But God is not going to make you come to the Lord's house. God is not going to make you open his word and allow the word to affect your life. That is our part. Notice, just the statement, just the passage, just me reading what you know is the perfect will of God, just you being here to listen to God's word might help you this week. Amen, somebody. And see, we need to understand better what it means to put on. Now, notice this. I could have chosen. I have not passed every test. But I could have chosen to deal with that in a very different way. I could have. And you know what? The sad part is sometimes we feel good. Some of you might be thinking, Brother Gary, you should have told her. No, I shouldn't. No, that wasn't the answer. And it really was not. It might have made me feel good, but it surely wouldn't have been a good example. It surely would diminish my chance, opportunity. I don't know if I would ever see that person again, but I might. And then, again, there were other people there, somebody. And I'm telling you, there are places I go in Houston now that I see people, hey, Brother Gary, hey, Brother Smith. I don't know who they are. And you know what? Sometimes there are places that you go that you think people don't know you, and they know exactly who you are. And sometimes they will tell you who you are, and sometimes they won't. Sometimes they will not say anything, but they'll go somewhere and say, guess who I saw? Sure did, and she was cutting up. And you have diminished. You have failed the test. You've taken off your shoes. But girl, I thought the gospel was the plan of salvation. My sister, my brother, it's more than that. You see, he says the gospel preparation of the gospel. Notice this, and he uses this word of peace. And he says that you I was reading first Peter. He uttered no threats, but kept entrusting, First Peter 2:23, but kept entrusting himself to him who judges righteously. See, only God can judge righteously. Only God knows the background of the people that go off on you and know what they are going through. You don't know it. You don't know what happened to that person. I don't know where that person somebody may have threatened them. Somebody may have been sick in their family. God, see, only God can. Our job is to put our shoes on and live in a peaceful way so God can do his job. Oh, help me. Ooh, help me, Jesus. I told you, this is tall cotton. It really is. But Jesus did that. And you not Jesus and I'm not Jesus. I know I'm not Jesus. But listen to what he says in verse 21. Same book, same letter. First Peter 2:21. For you have been called for this purpose, since Christ also suffered for you, leaving you an example for you to follow in his steps. Jesus wasn't just doing this and just suffering and just going through all of this so you can say how great he is. Jesus is at the right hand of the Father right now. We are here on earth. Jesus is not coming back again except to claim his bride. So we're on the earth and he's using us to reach all of these lost people on earth, and we can't do it if we don't do like Jesus did. Oh, Lord, have mercy. Yeah. Yeah, so we got to put this guy, we got to live this one. I was looking in Luke chapter. I'm trying to explain the gospel of peace. Luke chapter 6, it's a way of life. Notice this. These are shoes we put on, not just, I know some of you got some nice shoes on right now. But this is not a Sunday morning church put on your shoes thing. Oh, no, he says, look, listen to Luke chapter 6, verse 27, and notice this transformational. But I say to you who hear, all these subtle words, but I say to you who hear, it's like, you know, Gary, that sounds good what you're saying, but I'm not there. We say, I'm not there yet. The Lord ain't through working on me, and I understand. He's working on me also. But are you listening to what he's saying? But I say to you who hear, love your enemies. Lord, have mercy. Love them. I mean, someone who is working against you, someone who does not like you, someone who that's some evil people in this world. There really are. And we all need to ask the Lord for some help with this one. But Jesus, is this in your Bible? You reading the same thing I'm reading? He says, love you. Don't have a mindset. See, and this is something you have to consciously work on. Don't have a mindset to hate people. Isn't this world full of hate? I'm telling you, I get sick to the stomach. I am serious. Some things just highlight the divide we have in this country. I mean, we are all human beings, everybody. And some people are so quick to label and despise and diminish and demean people. Jesus said, love your enemies. They needed it back then in Jesus' time, and we need it now. Oh, we need it now. Somebody got to do something different. You know, I'll tell you, I wish that we didn't have any political parties. I wish there was no Republican, no Democrats, no liberal. I mean, we all people, aren't we? Huh? When is somebody gonna stand up and say, I don't know. He says, love your enemies. He says, do good to those who hate you. Yeah. And we know this has been in the Bible for a long time, haven't we? Notice, put on the whole armor of God. No, he says, love your enemies. Now, that's tough enough to do. But it starts here. It starts in your mind. But then he gets more specific. He says, now, don't fool yourself. Don't fool yourself. See, because even those of us as Christians, we'll say, Brooke, yeah, I'm working on that. I can do that. I can do that. I'm a worker. I read that in the Bible, and that's good. But then he says, do good. See, do it in your mind, but also show it. That's what. See, do good. I tell you what, everybody think of the person you know don't like you right now. You know it. Not guessing. It might be somebody on your jaw. Oh, bro, girl, don't get my blood pressure up while I'm in here. I mean, and somebody, they sick, they jealous, they envious, they got issues. But we all have issues, don't we? Put them in your mind. He says, do good. Now this is the growth. This is for the mature saints. This is for those, that's why I say this is master training. Do good to the person who hates you. That's what it says. That means put it into action. That means if they get sick, don't be happy. You know, some of our enemies get sick, and we say, that ain't nothing but the Lord whooping them. They deserve every bit of it. And you know what? They might deserve it, but it's not for you. They might deserve it. And so God says to the person that hates you, when they get sick, don't be happy. When somebody die in their family, don't gloat. It says, do, but Gary, I'm going to pray for. Amen. That's good. They probably won't know you're praying for them. And we need to pray for them, for sure. The prayers of the righteous avail much. But how about this? How about if they're sick? How about you send them a call and put your name on it and don't say nothing smart. Get them a card, not a rights with your own hand on it. I am praying for you. And we'll continue to pray that, notice, that God will bless you and God will heal you. Gary. If you need something, call me. Some of our family members hate us. We might as well. And we've been hating on each other for too long. we're talking to the saints. We're talking to you know, those who've been baptized into Christ. And I know some people would, yeah, there you go. Now, see, that's what I'm talking about. See, that's what they do. But when we want to be like Jesus, when we want to affect, see, when we want to affect the way the heart of people, he says, showed your feet with this gospel of peace. See, and you know what? The truth is that it works. And we won't know it until we put it into action. And I'm not saying it works the way we want it to work on everybody, but I'm telling you who it works with is with God. He says this. He says, those that bless those who curse you. Pray for those who mistreat you. Whoever hits you on the cheek, offer him. Oh, no, no, no. Now, why do you think it's called the gospel of peace? Because God don't want us fighting and cursing and hitting and railing on each other and going toe to toe and argument for argument. The gospel is good news. The gospel takes peace to a meeting. It takes joy to the family reunion. And we are the instruments of the gospel. We are the peacemakers. Blessed are the peacemakers, for they shall be called the children of God. Yeah. See, after we become disciples and learners, oh, yeah. And did Jesus do that for us? I mean, he lived it. He lived it. And we're challenging each other. I'm challenging myself to analyze my life, to see as I go about everywhere I go, not just in the elders' preachers' meeting, not just in Sunday school, not just in Bible class, but when I play a basketball game on the basketball court, I'm in a volleyball game, I'm in a meeting, and at the family reunion, if I'm on vacation, if I'm in Cancun, Hawaii, wherever I go. Yeah. And so I'm just, this is challenging. It really is. It's challenging. And so we are the instruments of this gospel of peace. And don't you think more people will respond to God's plan of salvation if they saw this? See, they saw, they witnessed this good news that we're carrying about us, and they see our families, they see the way we live, they see the way we communicate with each other, and they see that, and they say, man, I want some of this. And so when you ask them, you know, you're on your job, and you having something, a function at the church or a fellowship of Christians, say, listen, you know, we're having a fellowship over my house, some of my brothers and cousins are coming over, and come join. I'm like, yeah, yes, if they like you, I sure do want to go. Yeah. And it opens the doors. Jesus went on to say, notice this, he went on to say, verse 32, if you love those who love you, what credit is that to you? Gangsters do that. Gang members do that. Gang members will cut for each other like nobody. For even sinners love those who love them. If you do good to those who do good to you, what credit is that to you? For even sinners do the same. Then verse 35, but love your enemies and do good and lend, expecting nothing in return. And your reward, notice this, will be great, and you will be sons of the Most High, for he himself is kind to ungrateful men. Be merciful just as your Father is merciful. Jesus. Acts 20 and 24, I'm bringing this to a close. Acts 20, 24. But I do not consider my life of any account, Paul has said, as dear to myself, so that I may finish my course and the ministry which I receive from the Lord Jesus to testify solemnly of the gospel of the grace of God. You have the gospel of peace, the gospel of the kingdom, the gospel of Jesus Christ, the gospel of the grace, the favor of God. It's this gospel of all inclusive, the gospel of the grace of God. Notice this, Titus 2:11, for the grace of God hath appeared, bringing salvation to all men. I got to say this before I sit down, is that this gospel of peace is for everybody. It's for everybody. One of the things that we need to get out of our hearts, one of the thoughts that we need to get out of our hearts, we need to get this these prejudiced thoughts out of our heart toward people. And we do it so subtly sometimes we forget, you know, we do it in race, we do it in gender, we do it with, but God, this peace, he says, for I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Jesus Christ. Well, it is the power of God for salvation to, everybody say everyone. Everyone who believes. Everybody. I love that about our great God, that God is not prejudiced. God don't look at the color of our skin. Amen. Some of us going to have a problem with that one. Some of us have too much of a problem with it now. In our subtleness, in the way we do things, in comments that we make, in languages that we talk, in how we stereotype and label folks. We need to become transparent in our love for people and see people for people. Because that's what God gave us. And he gave salvation, he says, to the Jew first and also to the Greeks. He did that. And so to us. In Galatians chapter 3 and verse number 28, there is neither Greek, Jew nor Greek. There is neither slave nor free man. There is neither male nor female. For all are one in Christ Jesus. This good news that we place on our feet, we have to first be knowledgeable of what God would have us as a preparation of the gospel of peace. We have to be knowledgeable of what God wants us to do as we go out into this world, everywhere we go. And that's what we're doing now. We're studying God's word to understand how he wants us to treat people. The message that he wants us to say is the message of the kingdom. Now, notice this. The gospel of the kingdom of God. See, God's way of life, it may not be what everybody wants to do, but it's the way of peace. The gospel of peace tells the husbands to treat your wife like yourself. Yeah. The gospel of peace also say that you can't just put away your spouse for any reason. Amen. It'll be a more peaceful world if we had less divorce in the world, wouldn't it? Amen. You might not want to do it, but that will bring peace. Not only will bring peace to us, it will bring peace to the whole world. That's why it's called the gospel of peace. And Jesus said this to his disciples before he left in John chapter 14, verse 27. Peace I leave with you. My peace I give to you. Not as the world gives do I give you. And he says, do not let your heart be troubled, nor let it be fearful. Yeah, the peace of God is different from the peace of the world. It is. Yeah, it is. I've even had my own children to say to me sometimes, you know, Daddy, you too nice. And I understand what they're saying. What they're saying is they don't want, you know, they don't let people run over you. But see, that's not in the Bible. And some of us use that excuse. Well, see, I'm different than you. I'm not going to let nobody run over me. It's not about letting anybody run. See, when you got God on your side, they're not going to get away. Amen. Amen. You see, what it is, see, you want to get them right now. But God is patient. And he's long-suffering. And you know, sometimes I want to tell my children, even now that they're quote-unquote grown, you know, I want to tell them, I say, well, if I treated you the way you deserve. Now, because sometimes the person I'm too nice to is you. So you need to leave me alone. But God is good, isn't he? It's great being a child of God. It really is. We're learning. And we are disciples in Jesus Christ, but God's way is the best way. And see, you see why, as Paul gave this dissertation to this church at Ephesus, that he says, you got to put on this full armor. And it's going to take some effort. But these things, you're going to have success in life on this side and the side and what is to come. You're here today, you're not a child of God, you need to be a Christian. You come by faith, believing in Jesus Christ as the Son of God. Without faith, it's impossible. Pleasing me that comes to God must believe that he is and that he is a rewarder of those of them that diligently seek him. If you're willing to repent of your sins, Luke 13, 3 and 5, to confess Christ, Romans 10, 9 and 10, Matthew 10, 32, be baptized in water for the forgiveness of your sins, Acts 2, 38, Mark 16, 16. God adds you to his family, to his church. We're baptized into Jesus Christ. We're baptized in the kingdom of Christ. He talked about that even in the gospel of peace, his kingdom. He wants us all to be one in Christ Jesus. And that wouldn't it be wonderful if everybody was one? That's God's will. That'll bring peace, won't it? And you know, we teach it. We don't apologize. Sometimes people get angry because in churches of Christ, we teach that God's will is that everybody be in one church. But that's some of the plainest teaching in the Bible. It's plain that God wants us all to be Christians. Nothing more, nothing less, and nothing else. And if you want to be a Christian this morning, to be one in Christ, you can be by obeying the gospel of Jesus Christ. If you have something you want to get right in your life, something you want us to pray about, we'll pray about it. Won't you come as we stand and sing the song of invitation? There's